Testing 1, 2, 3. We're about 4:02 on Thursday, August 14, 2025. As chairman of the board, I convened the meeting of the regular meeting of the Board of Commissioners for South Whidbey Fire and EMS. So the call to order is done. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion is second. All those in say aye.
Aye.
None opposed. Motion carries. Item 3 on the schedule is public input. Is there any member of the public? No member of the public is here, and nobody's in on Zoom. Going once, going twice. We're going to move on to item 4, the consent agenda. For the record, all items within the consent agenda have been distributed previously to the commissioners, and we have read and studied. We consider them routine and will be enacted one motion with no separate discussion. So, to the board, if there's no discussion on it, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
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 None opposed. The motion carries. Looking like item 5, the member update. I see NNA, so there's no update there. At this point, we go to item 6, old business. This is going to be policy 1030.1, personal appearance standards. Chief, any comments?
Yeah, I don't know if the board has any feedback after the first reading. I didn't receive any feedback from staff. So this would just be if nobody has anything, approval on second reading.
Commissioners, any thoughts here?
I'm ready to make a motion unless there's any other discussion.
Commissioner Towers?
I'm good with the policy as written.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to approve policy 1030.1, the personal appearance standards.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 None opposed. The policy 1030.1 is now approved. Okay, item 7 on the agenda is new business. Resolution, first item is resolution 2025-13, surplus property disposal of scrap. Chief, any comments here?
Yeah, this is a flat screen television that was in the small conference room that stopped working several months back, stopped working properly. So we replaced that with a different television screen that we weren't using elsewhere. And this just needs to be actually formally surplus before we can send it to the recycler.
Excuse me. Commissioners' comments? If hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve resolution 2025-13 for surplus property to be disposed of as scrap.
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion second. All those in favor say aye.
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 None opposed. We go to item 2 under new business, the EMS billing service contract. Staff report, Chief.
So as you know, we've been approved by the state for a BLS transport license, which allows us to use our ambulance to transport. Along with that, we have worked with a company called Systems Design West, who provides billing services for most of the EMS agencies in this area or in the state, and have an agreement with them where if we were to transport someone, of course, we would have to go through and establish our rates and everything like that before that happens, but they would be able to do the billing for us. The other thing that they've already been able to do is start working with us to get our federal licensure to be able to bill folks for Medicare, Medicaid transports. As part of finalizing that agreement, we need a formal board approval of the contract. There is no cost at this time to the contract. If after 1 year we were not to have any of their services used, we would be billed approximately $1,000. With the services they provided us already in getting our license, with the federal government. I think that's well worth the cost. And if we do any billing at all within that time, then we wouldn't be subject to that.
Commissioners, a question of our chief on this subject.
A related curiosity, which is I have seen the vehicle out and about. So have we used it, or we just, what has it been doing until this has happened?
Yeah, so generally they cross staff with the engine and that aid unit when they're working out of Station 31. So if they get an aid call, they'll take that. Or if there's a motor vehicle accident, the engine and the aid unit can go. So we would have that backup transport.
Has it moved anybody yet?
We haven't transported. And the reason is there's a little bit of a back and forth with our medical program director. By state law, we are allowed to transport a patient in the case of overwhelming need without a BLS transport license. Okay. And the state has officially weighed in writing on that. However, the medical program director would not accept that answer, which pressed us to have to go through the steps of being formally licensed as a trans. So we can't have any issues at that point. We're officially checked off to do it. And I would have liked to have seen that happen a lot faster, but it has been a bit of a political challenge.
And so up until now, it's been kind of a building up the muscle memory on using it. And so now we're ready to, we will be ready to use it shortly.
Right. And another way to look at it is like we respond in aid units now that are small SUVs.
Yep.
And we would respond with two people on those sometimes. They're really maxed out for storage space. And there's nowhere to put a patient in an overwhelming need, which we have had to put a patient in a pickup and things like that in the past. So this is kind of a catch-all for that. Also, it's got large cabinets that allow us to carry the bunker gear on racks along with SCBAs. So if they're out on a call, they can arrive immediately with their SCBA packs, with their bunker gear, with a pressurized water can, and be able to go right to work. So it's really one of the reasons that most all departments use that as a platform, even for an aid car without transporting, is for those reasons.
Do we have any plans to sort of let the public know that there will be charges if we transport using this rig? Because we've been through this before with charging. We looked at charging for illegal wildfires, this kind of thing, various nuisance calls that we've had over the years. We've never actually done it, to my knowledge. I don't think we've actually sent a bill out.
Yeah.
So do we need to tell the public that they're going to get billed if they're transported with us? And how are the rates going to compare with WIDBI?
So what I would say is that it's not going to be a substantive change for the public, because this would be us doing the transport instead of either Central WIDBI or WIDBI Health. I've reached out to WIDBI Health Ambulance to get their billing rates and structure. And what I...
Did they give it to you?
They did. Yeah, I have that. And off the top of my head, I can't tell you because I haven't had a chance to get through it. But what I want to do is come back to the board and we'll propose that we match rates with them. Mm-hmm. if all looks well. So then the public is not experiencing anything different other than potentially faster service.
Chief, this is a real basic question, that a transport, whether it's WIDBI Health or us, is that something that can be billed to insurance by the person, or is it totally on the person's hook?
Yeah, it can certainly be billed to the person, or to the insurance rather, and it normally is. And there are some finer points to it. When you bill Medicaid, you don't get the full rate that you normally bill, but there's a program called Medical Expense Reimbursement Program where we can turn around and get some of that money back from the state. Various agencies can do it different ways. If they have a good levy rate for EMS, they're not like necessarily needing a lot of the money. They do some things where they'll bill insurance only and won't bill the individual. There's all different ways to do it, but I think what intuitively for me, and again, we'll go back to the board to propose the question with all the paperwork in front of you, to say, do you want to go with the same rate as Whidbey Health? Does that make sense to us? Is there another thing that makes sense? And I think there's some other conversations to be had around that in the coming months.
Before I ask for a motion, going to make a rather catty comment here, and I'm just going to have chair's prerogative. If I were transported, whether it's Whidbey Health or Swiffy, then there was a need for it, and I sure wouldn't have a complaint, whatever the charge is, if that saved my life. So enough of my whinging on. If there are further comments or questions,
I'm ready to make a
if
motion
not,
to approve.
I'll entertain a motion. This will be, Chief, this is to codify the service contract we already have. Is the motion to approve? What's the
Yeah, the
correct form?
motion to approve the service contract
Okay.
with Systems Design West,
Okay.
and this is a ask from our county treasurer to as a formality to establish a relationship with Systems Design. So they can directly.
So the motion, entertain a motion to approve the EMS billing services contract with Systems Design West for billing for any transport that we provide in the future.
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Motion carries. Good job, Chief. This is good stuff. Good stuff.
Thanks, sir.
We now go to item three, first reading of policy 1007.4.13, and this is for the maintenance technician position description. Chief, a staff report.
Yes, so thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the position description for the maintenance technician that was recently vacated by Jake Gravey. We would like to go back out and hire for the position. And along with that, we've made a couple of technical changes to the position description, which I can go through. And my ask for the board for this particular one would be to do this policy approval in a one reading. And the reason is we want to post the position and get it filled. It's been largely vacant with a light modified duty assignment for quite a while, so I think it's going to be a big help for Ian Carter and the rest of the district, our mechanic. So what the changes are is supervisor's title is now changed to assistant chief. Couple little changes to operate. So adding under essential duties, operate and assist conduct maintenance of district-owned vehicles. So this is to expand that so the person could help our mechanic with basic service of the vehicles.
Okay.
Under skill two would be perform general maintenance on district vehicles, apparatus, equipment, including but not limited to running, cleaning, polishing, checking fluids, assist the mechanic with repairs, lube and oil changes, and making minor repairs.
So this really amplifies and clarifies the previous wording under B. Is that what I see?
Correct.
Would this allow the maintenance technician to operate a tanker on calls if we were short-handed?
They would need to be a firefighter and have EVIP, or they would need to have a CDL. We did not add this that into there.
Should you have that as a preferred part of something is discretionary in the job description, so that and when we hire whoever to take this position, that if they don't have a commercial driver's ticket, but they would be encouraged to get that to fulfill what Commissioner Towers just commented.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea as far as them being able to operate the tender on the scene of a call. There's some upsides to it, obviously. There's also some challenges to it. If they're going to be, their primary duty is not going to be firefighting.
Right. Yeah.
I would just have some concerns about the efficacy of them maintaining their skills on top of this.
I just pose the question. You're the expert. I'm not wedded to it. It just seems like if the UNOWET hits the ventilator, all hands on deck.
But, yeah.
You know. Commissioners, any questions, comments? I'll entertain a motion.
I would move that we approve the updates to the job description for maintenance technician 1007.4.13 as written on a first reading out of the need to hire somebody into the position as soon as possible.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Chief, point of clarification here. With the first reading, you're saying, does that permit you to advertise for this position?
Yes.
Good. So you advertise. How long is that process?
How long will we keep the position open for?
Yeah, in other words, if you advertise, how long to before? What a question I'm leading towards is if you advertise and you get a group of prospects, how long before you would potentially, in an ideal world, be able to hire somebody?
I anticipate having a 30-day position opening on the advertising platforms.
Okay. Okay.
And then it'll take us another week to do interviews and assessment center. And then we need it. I like to think of that second portion of it's going to take a month. So it'll take 2 months because they may be able to just give 2 weeks notice. Well, I'm going to give 3 weeks notice.
Yeah. So what my questioning leading is that we have the first reading, the next meeting we have a second reading, then it comes into force. It won't hinder the process of bringing somebody on board.
Well, we were approving to do it just in one reading.
Okay.
And then we can advertise because I don't want to put out the advertisement with a job description that's not accurate.
Okay. So the motion we had was, in effect, the first and second reading.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep. I just wanted to clarify that. Okay. Now we're item four. Looks like a mid-year budget adjustment presentation. Chief?
So this is obviously a mid-year budget adjustment that we do every year. We had a couple of last-minute changes come in here as the board docs went out. We went, wait a minute, there was that item that we missed. The two items were, one, we had to add in additional fire hose for the tenders. And then also we had to add in, we had missed a subscription to a record management system. So we added those in, and those are reflected here on the spreadsheet. Mary Kay is here. Mary Kay, would you mind giving a brief overview of this? You can use the microphone. Just basically, so I don't butcher it, summarize the bottom half of what we're not spending and spending.
Well, basically, what we're looking for is to increase the budgeted line items by $261,000 for the expenditures, also increasing the revenues by $168,000. And then decreasing the hospital revenue payments. I made an error when we created this budget with the calculation for the hospital payments. So it was $23,000 too high. And then we are asking to reduce our expenditures in certain accounts by $295,000. The total of all this would be a net budget reduction of about $178,000.
Commissioners, questions? While we're thinking on this, to staff, yes. Here we go. Testing. How's that? We're showing a decrease of almost 300,000 from the budget. I'm assuming that the various funds that came from, there was a justification for it, so that the net effect is we're not lowering the service by those reductions.
No, we're not lowering any services. Some of them were due to vacant positions that we haven't filled, that type of thing, or just plain over budgeting. Do you have any questions about specific line items?
No, I just, we're seeing this here in this document, and I just want to make sure that is in the scheme of things. I mean, my household budget, 300,000, is chunk of change. In the budget here, it's not. So,
right.
So just to make sure I understand the pluses and minuses here, we're looking at our expenses, we're looking at our revenue, and bottom line, when we say net budget reduction, that means we're spending about $178,000 less than we projected?
Correct.
Okay, so that to me, on a bottom line basis, means we have overestimated what we thought we would spend, and we've spent less.
Correct.
And that is good.
Yes, that is good.
So
this is a good thing.
I similarly, on a much smaller scale, like to overestimate what I think things will cost and hope it comes in less so that you come ahead in the game. So I appreciate staying on top of that, and that I know I've heard from our neighbor district in the past, they are impressed by how well we manage our budget. So well done. And I am happy to give this a yay when we vote on it.
Commissioner Towers?
The firefighter health care benefits increase of just shy of $50,000. Are we anticipating that that's going to continue to increase?
She's got the notes on all these.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary. I want to give a kudos to Mary Kay as well. She's been working really hard and is developing all this, and it's been great.
It's good.
The reason for the increase in healthcare benefits is when we produced the budget, we did not know what the premium increase would be. And there were a few things that we also failed to think of, one being the VBA, HRA VBA, yeah. Totally forgot to put that in the budget. And also a retirement happened and we had to, no, that was wages. Never mind.
Okay. And then the other one, this is more for the chief. The authorized overtime for Marine was at 38,000 as opposed to a budget of just under 14,000. Was that because of the training on the new boat, or is this just, so that's all attributable to that? We're not seeing
yes.
a big increase in price. So the leased boat costs are all included in this budget as it
yes.
stands right now. Great. I don't think I've got any other questions.
Chief, a clarification. You're presenting this information. What is the desired action on the part of board at this point?
To approve the mid-year budget adjustment.
If there's no further questions, comments, I'll entertain a motion to approve the mid-year budget adjustments as presented.
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
None opposed. Good job, Mary Kay and Chief and everybody else. It's rewarding to see and hear of a local government that's being fiscally prudent and conservative, because you know there's enough squawking about oh, government this and government that. I don't see that with Swifty. So I'd like to say my hat's off to a job well done. The next to last item on this new business is the budget committee, the forming of a budget committee. Chief, a little staff presentation.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my intention for this year was to continue with the format we used for the budget committee last year, was to have myself and the finance officer, a commissioner, and a volunteer and career representatives, and then we'll be meeting regularly with the administrative staff. But for the budget committee meetings, that would be the makeup. The board in the past has used a rotating position on the budget committee, and I believe Commissioner Towers is up for this year. So would ask the board if they wanted to formalize that. We'll let Mr. Towers speak for himself, but we had to talk to already.
So Commissioner Towers,
to do it.
Are you a live one willing to stand up and do it?
I'm happy to sign up for it.
Okay. So Chief, you need a consensus it just basically, I think, what you presented is what we've been doing, but if you need a motion, we can create a motion.
I don't believe we need a motion on that one, just wanted to have that conversation.
Well, I tell you, that budget process, it's long, but when it's done, everybody's bought into it. So I applaud you and everybody who will be participating in it, for it's because it's a long, arduous process. All of us have been through it at least once or twice, so Commissioner Towers, my hat's off to you. And next time, I'm not sure if I'm up or Commissioner Erickson will be, but we will stand. We will try to do as well as you'll do this year. This point, the last item on the new business is the Chief's report. Chief, for your report.
Okay, so I made some changes to the report. Commissioner Erickson had some feedback about some of the charts and information, and it was in retrospect, it was like, yeah, it's some of those I don't think are of any value to the board at all, and some of them were just a little bit confusing. So I've started to change the Chief's report. It's a working document, so I'm going to make some additional ones going forward too, but I'll just go through what we have here. So I'm starting out with call volume by month, year to date. And so you can see we've picked up a little bit for the summertime, running just shy of 300 calls a month. The next chart is call volume by year, starting from 2017 through 2025. And that is the way that number works is it's average month. Okay. So that's why you see the numbers on the left. You go, hey, it's only 200. Oh, we're doing it by monthly average, and that way we can see this year as it unfolds.
Well, it's sort of like inflation. It always goes up, never goes down.
Always goes up. The next one is the staffing and volunteer engagement report. You can see we're basically staying fairly static in the high 70s, low 80s for fourth seat coverage at this time. Fifth seat is staying around 50%. And sixth, we just started tracking that. And we just started seeing that. We know once we get the folks back from Academy, about the end of the first quarter of 2026, we should see a fair amount of sixth seat coverage. We should start to see us starting to staff 32 more often. The next report that I don't have for you all at this time, but we'll work on for the next month, is to start demonstrating what number of the days exactly are we covering Station 31. It's much of the time, but it's not every time we have four people, because sometimes the fourth person's not qualified to cover. Any questions on those reports at all so far?
How many paid firefighters do we have at the present minute? Because we've got some, I think Cooper's leaving on, he's off on leave of absence shortly, isn't he?
Yeah, are we at 15 right now?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we had one separate during probation here this week, so we don't have quite as many as we had, but we'll look to refill that position in the next couple of weeks. We do have still a viable list. So, recruitment and retention. So we don't have any volunteers to approve today, but we have 5 applications in process. Chairman, you got a question?
No, I was just
okay.
Just taking my glasses out.
All right. You look like you were. Okay. So new volunteers, we have none for approval, 5 applications in process. I added in this month, how many resignations did we have? So we can start looking at that, and then added the new career members. We had 2 volunteer resignations. We have been watching, and I know Chairman Noblet is, why are these people going? Are we talking to them when we leave? And yes, we have been. And so I'll just add in here, what was the motive for them leaving? Because like, where are these people going? So one of those volunteer resignations moved out of state. I think it moved to California. And the other one,
that's no excuse,
right? Yeah, you could still fly out for shifts. Come on. One other one joined the Navy, which he was, I mean, not that they aren't both a loss, but the one that went off to the Navy was a really active EMT volunteer. So we will miss him, but maybe he'll come back one day. Yeah.
I thank you for making the adaptations and improvements on the data. Would it be possible to add in tracking the full numbers? So the volunteer pool, the full-timers, admin, I don't know what the right grouping is, just so we can see the totals on a monthly basis.
Yeah, that's no problem. Yep.
Thank you.
You got that. On the minutes. Okay. And I won't forget. It's in the minutes. We have one new career firefighter EMT at Washington State Fire Academy. We have one other volunteer resignation that came in. He's not leaving yet, but that one actually we feel kind of good about because he came into SWFE wanting to get a job, a career in the fire service, and was really active and did an awesome job and had a lot of fun with us. And now he's been hired. And so he was very thankful and appreciative of the experience he had at SWFE with our crews and everybody being so welcoming. So
been hired with another department?
Yep. Yep. He was going through our process too. And yeah, partway through our process, he got picked up by a bigger agency on the other side of the water, closer to where he lives. So,
well, I mean, yeah, that, you know, that's speaking for one member of the board. It'd be nice to know you have somebody, they've been with us, a volunteer. If they move on like this party, it's not that the party didn't like working with us, but if he's got the option where he's got a 10-mile commute versus a, you know, an hour and a half or 2-hour commute to get to us, that party's making a rational decision, and I applaud them for that. So.
Okay. And moving on to resource division update, we got IT equipment surplus completed. So we've had a bunch of IT old monitors and things like that down in the back cave for a while now. We finally got that stuff.
Hazardous dump.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, so we finally got that. I think they were meant to pick it up maybe. Oh, that's right. Somebody got picked up today. We did a phone system upgrade, switched to a new system that's cloud-based. That's improved reliability, flexibility, and integration across all stations. We don't have to host the system on our own servers either any longer.
So that's going to result in more reliable service and maybe higher security?
Long term, and it should also be less money because we don't have to host it on our own server on-prem. We've been trying to move things to the cloud server ever since the great hack of 2022. So you may have seen out on the streets, Lil Red, as we call it, the 1953 engine. It's been repaired. It's running great. Probably represented the district at multiple community parades, public events, supporting our outreach and public relations efforts. And that was thanks to the efforts of Chief Dilly and Ian Carter, our mechanic. He's been slowly picking away at that engine to get it up and running again. It hadn't run in years and years, so it's out on the streets.
I can imagine when the first time they fired that puppy up, it must have been quite a cloud.
Yeah. Well, and it's a stick shift, so it's limited members that can operate the thing anymore. And it's a weird stick, I can tell you from driving it. It doesn't operate normally. So.
Weird.
So yeah. It's not a four. It's like a six with a Y movement or something like that.
The shifting is not too weird. It's the clutch.
You got double clutches?
Yeah. Sometimes you can double clutch it. If you're downshifting, you just cannot shift into second gear. So you can only do third.
My 1-year-old Douglas had the opportunity to make sure that the engine the horn is working.
That was fun.
I can assure you, having one time years ago driving a double decker bus from 1949 or 51, and I never, ever want to deal with double clutching, ever.
Yeah. It's a challenge. Station 34 setup is ongoing, so equipment supplies continue to be transferred from maintenance into Station 34. The process is progressing steadily and will support improved maintenance efficiency for the new location. So that's us moving maintenance over to Langley Station.
So when do we expect that to be completed?
To be fully moved in there. Yeah.
So what does that leave the status of what is the maintenance base now? When will we be able to get a sale to the lumber yard?
Well, realistically, I'm hoping that we can do that by spring. They need to get moved out. We need to clean it out, ready it. And then I don't know what the status currently is of the moratorium. Do you know, have you guys heard any more? I know they've had some meetings. I don't think there's been any movement on it. So it would be nice if that moratorium was lifted. So if you run into your county commissioners.
If any leverage is needed, we could discuss that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if it becomes a political decision, and if there can be an exemption, because this is, I mean, the moratorium, I would assume, is based on underlying environmental issues. I don't know.
I think there's other issues going on as well with surrounding the
CS politics. You don't have to say anything.
Okay.
And we'll let anybody in the audience know what CS stands for.
The operations division update. So for recruitment and testing, we've completed the firefighter and EMT testing, and we have a list, and we have, again, one at Academy now, and we still have viable candidates on that list. So I think we can do another round after the first of the year. The battalion chief testing was completed, and I just conducted an interview just prior to this meeting, so I think we're going to be able to make an announcement in the near future on filling that position. We participated in our first wildland mobilization here this past month. So I think Peter Lund is in here, and Lieutenant Lund is here. He actually was on that deployment and has done a tremendous amount of work to get us ready to do the deployment. And so huge thanks to him It was no small undertaking. He had to do buy us camping equipment and the correct gear to wear and help deal with the state and contracts and everything else. So, Chief Dilley worked hard with them as well to get that set up. They deployed, as I know y'all have seen it in the weekly update, but they deployed to two different fires on the east side, and they brought a tender over there. At least Nikki was reassigned to, I believe, a brush unit while they were there, which just means she teamed up with another crew and helped to fight those two fires. So what our hope was is for everything on this first one to be very successful, and so far so good. So we're now down back to the bottom of the list for deployments, but Lieutenant Lund was just telling me we're working our way back up, so we could be called back up for service.
Good job to everybody. And I'd ask the question, how much smoke did you inhale? That's good. That's good.
He said he didn't inhale. I'm sorry. I was kidding. Okay.
Well, they never inhale, you know.
Okay. So for training updates, as always, Chief Magallon has been busy delivering 2 hours of roadway work zone safety with a guest speaker, Deputy Rang. Personal protective equipment training that turned into a CPR response. I don't know what exactly that was. Nice. Had a big response.
With a good outcome? Oh.
We've had multiple hours and performance of vehicle extrication training with the demonstrations at both the National Night Out and at the fair. The tools that we've purchased with the support of the commissioners have been amazing and worked really, really well. So that's been great. Marine training with the old and new boat is ongoing. They were just out yesterday with the new leased boat. So it seems to be working very well, and they're very happy with it. The crews are very happy with the performance. So,
Chief, is it, I think all the commissioners would agree, this new boat we're getting is significant service when needed. Are we going to have some outreach to the local newspapers and PR to say, hey, this is what your tax dollars are doing for you?
Yeah, I don't know if we want to do that with the lease boat or wait for the
leaving it to
new
discussion.
One.
Maybe.
Yeah.
When will the new boat come in?
It will be July, August 26.
Okay. Well, then let's just mums the word until next summer. But boy, we need to really toot our own horn on that number.
I like it. We had 4 hours for the tender operators. We have a couple of folks who are tender operators, so they operate the water trucks. And we actually had those two turn out for a fire in our neighboring district recently, so they were pretty excited to be of use and have been turning out for some of our fires as well. And then SCBA rescue procedure training, which is that's our air packs that we wear. And so they've been doing, I believe, joint training with Central, with our neighbors to the north on rescue operations. Because they're somewhat complicated, you can go into a fire if somebody's down, you can switch out air packs, you can connect a new one to them, or you can do something called buddy breathe, where you have a hose and you connect to their pack. So if their pack isn't working, you can get them back out. And so to do that joint training is of great value. Recent events, we leased the safe boat and it was delivered and training began. So that was delivered. I think that was in the weekly update last week, but they brought that back from Bremerton. Significant responses that we've had. We had two rather large wildfires for us that required air support on South Whidbey this summer, which is unusual. They went pretty well, and we got those out quickly. But the level of awareness of wildfires for the South Whidbey community right now is, I'm sure, is very high, which that's good by us, because anytime people are concerned about fire safety, that's a good thing. Finally, for the significant responses, and this one actually happened in August, not July, well, we had an excellent stop on a house fire in Clinton area that resulted in the rescue of two pet cats.
And how did they handle the rescue, the cats?
They were cool as could be. Well, one of them, he said he had to wrestle it out to get it off the carpet, you know, stick to grabbing the carpet. But once he got it out, it seemed happy with Carson. So,
then the Mr. Master of the kitties, they were able to get them somewhere where they didn't go running back into the house or whatever.
Yeah, he delivered them to the homeowner and his son, and they were staying in a trailer next to the house because the house fire. So they were extremely happy to have their cats back.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Very importantly, though, on that fire is those residents were actually awoken by a working smoke detector in the house. A neighbor tried to call. He said he heard the phone ring and ignored it, went back to sleep, and then heard the fire or the smoke alarm go off. And so they got up and got out, and the whole back of the house was on fire already and was entering into the bedroom. So that was a good one. We got that out to the newspaper as well. So that was published. That was working smoke detectors.
But they didn't say they rescued the cats in the newspaper.
On the online, there was a picture of the cats. Okay. And the print paper, there was not. I felt like they were kind of ripped off on that. But
oh, well.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Upcoming events, the district picnics is to be determined. But the crew came back today, and we're talking about doing that on 9-6, September the 6th, for the district picnic.
Getting kind of late.
It is. Yeah, we're behind on it this year.
So if we have rain or whatever, then it will be inside, right?
Luckily, we got that big, beautiful apparatus bay in this room, so.
Okay.
There'll be a water slide?
I'm sure there will.
Okay.
I'm confident they'll do the water slide. Yeah. The battalion chiefs are due to begin service 9/1/25, so the 1st of September. I don't know that we'll have the newest one on yet, but it will be within a couple of weeks of that time.
What's the plan to fill in? You're going to just keep going with the current staff.
Yeah, so the administrative chiefs will back. So myself and Chief Daly will backfill the positions when they're open. And we'll have to do that for a while to fill vacancies. The Washington Fire Commissioners Conference is October, what should say, 22 through 25. It'd be really long if it was 20 days. I felt like 3 days was pretty long. So that's coming up. Commissioner Erickson's registered for that. I don't know if anybody else wants to, then.
Yeah, I'll be registering for it.
Okay, Sherry can help you out. It's already, believe it or not, totally booked for the hotel. But okay. There's another one. So
hotcakes.
Further questions of the chief on any topics he's presented or new topics?
Yeah. Now that we've got the lease boat in service, are we planning on surplusing Marine Free?
Yeah, that's the plan.
So that's going to happen pretty quickly.
It's so they're going through right now and getting to the point where they can operate. Right now, they're not responding on it yet. They're still going through the training phase. But once we do that, we'll need to figure out what we want to sort of start the bidding at for that boat, which you may have some good ideas of who to talk to about it, or we've talked about doing some appraisals of it, but I'm not sure the best route to go.
And Chief,
it'll be a tough one to sell.
Yeah, it's an odd boat. So,
on that general subject, when of the new boat and lease boat, make sure that the public outreach next summer talks about how we knew we needed to provide the service. We didn't have the capability with the equipment we had, so therefore we leased similar boats so that we were able to provide the service. I mean, I'm just looking at his old marketeer sales kind of guy. You got to create the value and everything. Commissioner Erickson, any questions?
Not in regards to the chief's report, but I did want to make a few comments if we're at that part in the agenda.
Okay. Chief, I do have one question that would be germane to all of us. What's the status of the station that's down near the ferry? It's 31, is it?
32.
How are staffing that?
So it's ready for daytime staffing, and they have staffed it a couple of times. Well, we don't have six on too often yet, but it is all set up with the kitchen and everything.
It's structurally capable, but we haven't got the personnel in there.
Right.
When do you expect that to be?
I think we're going to really start to see a substantive change in that after the first quarter of next year, when we have four more people back from a, we'll have four new FTEs back at that time.
So between now and then, it's basically smock snicks for what we're doing now. In other words, there's no real change.
Not much. After the first of the year, we'll see some, because we should have two more on the line. And then again, after, at least by mid-year next year, depends on when the fire academy starts, but we'll have enough people on that we'll have shifts with six people.
Okay. Because I've got a couple of members of the public who have called me in the past, and I say, we're working on it. So I'll be able to at least say it is in process. Okay. So we get into 26 and we staff it moving on into 26. The projection is that by 30, we might have a new facility so that 31 would again become dormant?
No, we all 31 will be fully staffed.
At all times,
yep.
Even with a new South End station?
Yep.
Okay.
By 2030 is to have six on duty, two and two, with the dream is to have then one volunteer on shift at each station too, so we'd have three people. But
Okay. So basically, a year from now, the folks that have called me be able to say, we should have a presence at Station 31.
It should start looking like 31 has been, which is regularly staffed, but not 100%. By 2030, the goal is 100%, because that's when we'll be up to 24 FTEs.
So it will be looking better by July of 26, mm-hmm. and then gradually getting better beyond that.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, the long-term plan was adding two and some years three through 2030.
Okay. So that I don't know whether it's appropriate for an executive session, but the status of 32 and a half.
Yeah, so I don't have any substantive updates at this time, but I've been in contact with our realtors recently as yesterday.
Okay.
So we've got some identified that we're working on contacting the folks.
Okay, so sometime we need to have a discussion. What happens if nobody wants to sell? And I mean, I guess that's an issue that we need to have a conversation sooner than later, because it sounds like the realtors put her hands on all the bushes she could find, but nobody's saying, hey, I want to sell.
Right.
Okay. So we need to have that discussion. What do we do from there? Because if nobody wants to sell, what do we do from there?
What's the next steps? You're absolutely right. Yeah.
And since we don't have eminent domain capability, We need to be serious about this because we've been talking about this new South End station, but I don't want to get a Pinocchio nose, and I think the other commissioners would agree to say, oh yeah, we're working on it, when we know full well that nobody wants to sell. So we need to have that discussion sooner than later. So at this point, if there's no more from the chief's report, any further announcements?
I think Commissioner Erickson had some.
Oh, I'm. It's more comment than announcement.
Oh, okay. Skipped over one.
All right,
Commissioner Erickson, it's you got the floor.
Okay, just to reflect between the last time we met and now. Volunteering at fair was really fun. So thanks to everybody who showed up and made that possible. I got to do the trivia and give out prizes. So quizzing kids on safety information. We really enjoyed it, and watching the smokehouse and people experiencing the walkthrough. So special thanks to Nikki and Robbie for leading that. We also attended National Night Out. That was pretty spectacular. I know, I believe it was the fire district that coordinated that, brought that together. And so it was really impressive. I know some of my other parent friends came along. I know we didn't fly the helicopters, but man, my sons were in awe of watching that part. We got two, like, wow, it was pretty cool. So thanks for bringing all of that together. I know we've been working really hard on bringing the safe boat lease to the district. And so I know we've been tracking that with Sean McDougald. But again, gratitude and appreciation for bringing that forward. I think we have a lot of things to feel pretty good about in the district. We're moving forward with our strategy, just showing up in the community and showing up outside of the community with our wildfire deployment. Want to make sure everybody knows that I am grateful for everything that I see us doing and achieving, both publicly and behind the scenes. I know it's a lot of work to make sure that we're able to show up in these various capacities. And I just want to emphasize making sure we hold each other accountable to do the best that we can. My job to make sure Chief Welsh does his job, and that goes across the board of making sure that we show up, do the right thing, and support each other. So thank you to everybody for a good 2025 so far.
Thank you. Commissioner Towers?
I'd like to echo the Commissioner's comments. I wasn't able to make the fair, but my daughter's wedding got in the way, but sounds like that went very well. National Night Out was certainly pretty impressive, and I think we got reasonable turnout. Do we have any idea how many people came through?
We didn't track. No, we don't have a magnum to track the numbers. I asked about that. They said, well, we filled the parking lot three times, we felt like, so I don't know.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
But no, I thought it went very well.
Well, I'll just say, sound like a broken record, but kudos to everybody doing what they're doing on the public outreach, because it's, of course, there's a pride in responding to the call and doing the job. But when you have events where you're basically putting the good face of SWIFI to the public with all the things that are done, that really helps the public understand who we are and what we do. And it's done because we want to do it, but there is a hidden benefit. If we ever have to go back for a levee lift, it doesn't hurt. So as I like to say, with when a new volunteer person comes on, I always doff my hat to them and take my hat off to all of you for a job well done. And I do have one other comment to the chief. You know, some fire districts in the old days and fire departments, they would have the official pet of the firehouse, and it would be a Dalmatian dog, supposedly. I don't know why that particular breed was the most popular. But I have to tell you that coming into the back door here, I wonder if we have a hidden pet in this building, because I opened the door and this little snake went scurrying out under the door. So I don't know whether we have a reptilian pet in here.
So, yeah, that's the firehouse snake.
Yeah.
Call him Snakey.
This guy was maybe this long and maybe that. So I got to have a little humor. He went out, and I was sure as hell didn't want to usher him back in. But anyway, I have no further comments. Chief, are we needing an executive session?
Yeah.
Okay. Just for the... And about how long do you think we'd be? 15 minutes?
Yeah, we could start with 15 minutes and see where we end up. Yep. Okay.
So just for the record, executive sessions, which is covered by RCW 42.30.110, subunit 1, F, and G, and it is to receive and evaluate complaints or charges or other issues pertaining to staff or the discussion of legal matters or potential real estate purchases. So we will go into executive session for about 15 minutes. If we have to continue, I will come back and we'll, having decided how much further the continuance would be, we would alert you. So at this point, it looks like we're about four after. So sometime around 19 after, we will either I'll come back or we will reconvene at that time. It is 5:24. The board is reconvened, completed an executive session, dealt with personnel matters. No action was taken. At this point, unless there's any other items that the commissioners or the chief need to bring forward, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Let's go home. Good job, everybody.